You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on Easter Sunday, March 27th, 2016, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
So here we are at Easter. But just 2 days ago, we were in a different place. A place of suffering and death. Good Friday. So we need to hold these two things together, Good Friday and Easter. Death and resurrection. One without the other just doesn't work. Good Friday without Easter leads to cynicism and despair. The world is nothing but suffering and sickness and loss. The powers that be are in control, and there's nothing to be done about it except just slog on. The world belongs to the wealthy and the powerful who bend it to their will. There's no hope for anything better. On the other hand, Easter without Good Friday is just empty sentimentality. Flowers bloom in the spring, following the long, cold winter. The birds are chirping. The bunnies are hopping. All's right in the world until it's not. But when we hold Good Friday and Easter together, we see that God has created this as the archetypal pattern for our lives. Resurrection follows death so that something new can be born. Easter redeems Good Friday. God has vindicated Jesus and his passion for justice for the poor and the marginalized. God has vindicated Jesus and his passion for the sick, the friendless, and the needy. God has vindicated Jesus in his passion to open the hearts of the powerful and the arrogant so that they can have their share in God's kingdom. Good Friday and Easter are about the path of transformation. Good Friday and Easter are about the path of dying to the old self, the selfish self, the self that imagines that it is the center of the universe, dying to a self that is ultimately unsustainable. Let's face it, none of us is big enough or powerful enough to keep the whole show going. Doesn't matter how much money we might have or how well connected we might be or how awesome we think we are. We can't keep the whole show going. You ever seen a picture of Atlas holding up the world on his shoulders? God, he's just exhausted. You know, we long to surrender the burden of holding up the whole show and instead just take our place in the divine order of things. We long for the old self to die so that we might be born again. We long for transformation. And so we walk the way of Jesus. It's the path that Jesus invites us to follow when he says, "Those who want to become my followers, let them take up their cross daily, 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 and follow me." It's the same path of transformation that the Apostle Paul experienced when he said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." This way of death and resurrection, the dying of the old self so that the new self can be born, this path that Jesus invites us to walk, is what Jesus means when we hear him saying in John's Gospel, "I am the way and the truth and the life." This path. This dying and rising, this path of transformation, this is the path to life in the heart of God. This is the path to life eternal. And it's a path that begins now. It's a path that begins today. You know, we don't have to wait for death and long for something different in the sweet by and by. Eternal life begins in this moment. It begins with surrender. Surrender to Good Friday, knowing that Easter follows right behind. The dying and the rising. God's plan and God's pattern for transformation. And of course, there's a corporate dimension for this. Jesus' passion means that Jesus was passionate about some things. Jesus was passionate about justice for the poor and for those who are weak and excluded and left out. Jesus was passionate about hope for those who are in grief and despair. Jesus was passionate about transformation for the arrogant and the powerful. Jesus' passion for all of this led to his death. His life was too great a threat to the powers that be. But in the resurrection, Jesus' passion has been vindicated. Remember that when we say Jesus is Lord, we are also saying that Caesar is not Lord. Easter tells us that while all of the Good Friday powers of the world that were arrayed against Jesus and tried to kill him, couldn't do it. He is alive. He is here. Jesus lives. Jesus is Lord. You remember last week was Palm Sunday. You remember that on that long ago day, two processions entered the city of Jerusalem. The first was led by Pontius Pilate, the imperial governor. It's impressive. It's magnificent. The full military and monetary might of the Roman Empire is on display. It's meant to cow the citizens of Jerusalem into submission and passivity. I mean, who could stand against the might of Rome? And at the other end of the city, at the same time, there's another procession going on. This one is a lot simpler. A dusty man on a dusty donkey. And not much else to the parade. But the man is radiating something. Something deeply humble and yet something very powerful. Something true and authentic is coming from this man. Radiating a peace that passes all understanding. The crowds that surround and cheer so lustily are filled with hope. The humility and the peace that radiate from this man offer far more than the pompous display of wealth and power at the other end of the city. And these two processions carry on today, right here in our midst. The first procession, the one with the might and majesty of the world on display, that's a Good Friday procession. Just turn on your TV. You can watch it every day. It's a celebration of the status quo, of the way things are. In this Good Friday procession, there's no hope for anything better. Deal with it, the procession seems to say. The second procession is an Easter procession. It's a procession that signals that something new is being born, something new is waiting. Something, the same old, is no longer good enough. The second procession signals transformation. Which procession, which journey will you follow? You do have a choice, you know. And here's something I know, just as sure as I am standing here, my sisters and brothers. What I know is that this life is short. This life is short. I don't care whether you're 5 or 95, this life is short. And there's no time to waste on fear. There's no time to waste on being afraid. There's no time to waste on confusion. There's no time to waste on saying, well, that's just the way things are. There's no time to waste following the false gods and empty promises of wealth and power and status and above all of control, the illusion that we have control. There's just no time to waste on that. We only have time for the Jesus procession. We only have time for the healing and forgiveness and transformation that comes from following the Jesus procession. So don't waste your time being afraid. Don't waste your time in fear. Don't waste your time being paralyzed. The tomb is empty. He is risen. Today is the day we can all join the parade. Jesus is here. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.